From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Friday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Sun shining over here. Now, on the way in, I had some sprinkles on my car on the way in. I'm not talking about the kind that go on ice cream. I mean, it was just a light mist, let's put it that way, coming in. But it's been a pretty nice day. It's been a pleasant week. So hope everybody doing all right and ready for the weekend. An open date football-wise for the weekend. A huge weekend for Auburn men's basketball as they are in Houston to take on the number four Houston Cougars in a matchup of the top two teams in KenPom.
How about that?
Yeah, so that will be great. That's Brian Matthews, and you're going, wait a minute, is it Monday? No, Brian graciously coming in to help out here on this Friday is Dan. He's done with the broadcasts on the road, but Dan contacted Drew to let him know that the Troy women's basketball team is snowed in Denver. They were their plane rides back were going to go through Denver, going to go from Montana to Denver, and then head east. And the Denver airport is shut down. We're talking with Uncle T-Bone here as he was walking out. He had some friends that were going to be flying from Denver. Mm-hmm. I believe some of them are going to Houston for the ball game tomorrow night. And they had texted him and said they got the last plane out.
Wow. Well, I'm just going to assume that blizzard will be here in just a few more days, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It may be a little cooler in a few days.
Yeah, maybe
10 degrees.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 degrees.
Oh,
cooler,
I don't know about that. Yeah.
I don't think we're in for anything really, really cold for a while. So
Wait. Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
According to my app, it says 67 is high on Thursday.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So
a week from now, about 10 degrees.
Okay.
And the lows may be in the 40s.
Could have some 40s, yep.
Yeah, but I mean, that's still not. That's November. It'll be the middle of November.
Yeah.
That's not unbelievable for this time of year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and enjoy that, folks, and appreciate that we're not having to put up with something like that. So best wishes to Dan and the Troy women's basketball team as they try to get back to the state of Alabama. We're here to talk with you about anything that you would like sports-wise. We'll take a look. I mean, it's another big college football weekend, a big college basketball weekend. There is Auburn women's basketball tonight as the Tigers at home once again. So we will have another abbreviated show. We'll be on till around 5:35 or 5:40 when we'll turn things over to Britt Bowen and Dr. Larry DeShera for Auburn women's basketball, which will be all season long right here on ESPN 106.7. So until then, we'd love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise, Brian, I want to get your thoughts on Hugh Freeze's comments at the SEC teleconference, how that could, how that could look in 8 days.
Yep.
when Auburn hosts ULM.
I think we kind of talked about it Monday, too, about how our thoughts on
it. But Hugh hadn't said that that they're considering making a change at quarterback. We'd talked about, well, this may be the time.
Yes.
I'm sure they were listening and went, right.
Of course, that's.
but yeah. But I mean, it's it. So now it doesn't just seem like something that people are talking about when you hear that it's being considered there in the football building.
No, if I had to make an educated guess right now, I think Hank Brown will be the starter against ULM. But I'm not saying that as a fact yet. That's just the feeling I get.
Yeah, I wonder if there'll be a viewing window next week.
Probably there has been every other week.
There has. Yeah. I just wonder. I mean, if they want to keep it up in the air, you know, they might stop that. Yeah. The other thing that I wonder is, all right, now that you. This appears to be a very viable possibility. I wonder if you stop working Walker White as your scout team quarterback, get him some work with the with the folks that are game planning, and take the red shirt. Well, you don't have to take the red shirt off.
Just
you could actually put him out there.
Yeah.
He could play, and even if Auburn wins all three, He could still play in a bowl game.
Yep, he sure could. So that's something to consider. I don't know if they feel like he's at that point. And you got to remember, he hasn't been, you know, working with the first and second team the entire fall.
But you might be able to have a small package or something where he could go in for a little bit.
Hey, look, this offense is terrible right now.
It's crazy because some of the stats would tell you, hey, this is one of the better offenses Auburn's had. But point-wise, it's one of the worst that Auburn's had.
Yep. It's just
no production. Yeah. I mean, they're unable to convert. And, I mean, we've heard the word finish, but, I mean, they've been really good until they hit the red zone.
Yep.
Once they get to the red zone, they have struggled. Auburn's one of the worst teams in the nation in the red zone.
Yeah. It's the same story. I mean, it's not quite the same story. It really started out as turnovers being the big issue.
Yeah.
They pretty much got that solved, I feel like, for the most part.
They do, but
they're still going to have a turnover here and there.
Is that the reason why the offense has dropped even more? Because there were a lot of explosive plays early.
And, that's right.
And Auburn was scoring some, but they were turning it over.
Yep.
And they have been so careful, trying to be very careful avoiding turnovers, that they really don't have the explosive plays as much as they did either.
No, they don't. It's just hard to believe that this team, with the recruiting class it brought in, with the transfers it brought in, being the second year, has taken a step back. And if this keeps up, it's going to be a big step back in year two, which is never a good sign for a program.
Oh, you're
If you go back, I think Shug Jordan,
I think he was 5-5 his first year, 2-8 his second year.
Right. And then, of course, he went on to be one of the best coaches in Auburn football history and won a national championship. So it's not the end of the world if it goes like this, but normally it's not the greatest.
No, it's usually not cause for celebration by any means. I wonder, though, I mean, now that we saw the word from Florida yesterday.
Oh, boy, they're having all kinds of trouble.
Well, I know, but I mean, first came the word that Billy Napier is going to be the coach next year.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things we've been talking about is, boy, you don't want a situation like Florida had last year because it's not very likely that Napier's going to be back. Now, they're 4-4. They have played a whole lot better lately, but they're very likely to go 5-7 this year.
Yeah.
In his third year, but they have shown some improvement on the field, even though they haven't been winning. I mean, they played Georgia. They were playing Georgia extremely well till DJ Lagway went down with an injury. They, let me look at their schedule. The last few ball games after starting off 2-2 and being blown out by Miami and Texas A&M, they destroyed Central Florida. They really played well against Tennessee, just blew through Kentucky, and then played Georgia very well. So they at least appear to be moving in the right direction.
They do, but here's the big problem with everything they've been through. Right now they have the nation's 59th rated recruiting class, which is 15th out of 16 teams SEC. And, of course, they've only got 12 commits. So they can obviously add to that, right? And letting everybody know that Napier will be back will help them there, right? They're not going to finish 59th. There's no way. I don't think there's any way a Florida team can finish that low. But still, they have put themselves in a real bind in this situation. There's no great answer there for Florida.
Yeah, you're right. And speaking of Florida, yes. Today, not good. Terrible. Story coming out.
And ESPN and some other sites have now picked it up that there's been some very serious stalking and sexual misconduct. Is that the right word?
I don't know.
Allegations
against
Todd Golden. Title IX allegations. Really serious stuff, not good.
No, I mean it's and we know Scott Strickland pretty well, and this is a tough time for him with the way things are going. Now it's on and off the field. It's been on the field with football, and now obviously off the field there in basketball. So yeah, that is a very nasty looking story and situation down in Gainesville. All right, again, we'd love for you to join in here on the Friday edition of The Drive. We were talking about Dan being stuck in Denver. Brian, it sounds like Auburn's struggling to get out to Houston. Have you seen that?
I have not. I'm afraid I didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean, well, I heard Jacob and Uncle T-Bone talking about there may be some situations. And again, weather is something because, you know, there were concerns a couple of days ago about the Alabama-LSU football game because of Rafael coming in. It's moved west, but moving west to send it more over toward toward Texas, and that could be the Houston area as well. So
they did leave an hour ago.
Okay,
so they're on the way.
I think they were planning on leaving
earlier,
much earlier than that. So we'll talk about that. We'd love your thoughts on anything. We'll look at the college football schedule for this weekend. We'll talk about Auburn, Houston, and other college basketball. We'd love for you to join in, and you can do so by calling the Drive Hotline, which is sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390. Or you can text us on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor the podcasts of the Drive. Come on in and join us. Tell you what, we'll go ahead and get to a break. We've got some audio from Bruce Pearl and Janai Broom Cheney Johnson from yesterday as they get ready for Houston. But your calls come first here on The Drive.
A well-made penalty.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. It's Bill and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. Drew at the controls. No Auburn University football, but high school football playoffs are moving, you know, continuing. And we've got over on Wings 94.3, the Auburn High School Tigers, the number one team in the state, ranked in the top 25 nationally, unbeaten on the season. We'll be in action tonight. Of course, as I said, that one is going on Wings 94.3 with a pregame of 6:30 and a kickoff of 7 as the Tigers host Bob Jones. Meanwhile, let's see. I mean, here locally, I mean, Auburn's at the top of the bracket. One of the things that's interesting is they've changed up the 7A bracket where teams from the same region, the top two teams from any region, have an opportunity to make it all the way to the finals. So, I mean, there is a chance that Auburn and Opelika could play for the state title. Opelika hosting Florence tonight. Meanwhile, Central is at James Clemens. And the fourth team from this region, Enterprise, is at Baker. Is that right? No, Enterprise at Austin. No, Enterprise is at Baker. It's funny because sometimes you've got home teams on top. I have to look at the bold is what indicates the home team because sometimes they're listed on top, other times on the bottom when you look at the bracket. Now, those aren't the only teams, obviously, that are going to be in action. I mean, in 2A, you've got Realtown. Realtown's got Houston County tonight. Lochapoka has Ayrton. Lynette taking on Cottonwood in 2A. So, I mean, there's some really good playoff action. But again, here, you know, right here in town, we'll have the Auburn Bob Jones ball game. And man, what a great year it's been for Auburn High, and I think they've got a chance to make a run to the title. I mean, they've got better than a chance. They have proven against everybody. Opelika may be about as tough a team because they have gotten they really have improved. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, sure, there are chances that other ones and twos from different regions could match up, but I think this region is the best region in the state. I think there's a very good chance those teams could match up again.
That would be incredible for them to play in the finals for the state championship. That would be unreal.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so that's going on. With Auburn not playing, there's some big ball games around the country, and right here in the SEC, you've got an elimination game. I don't see there's any way around that. An elimination game in Baton Rouge tomorrow night with Alabama and LSU.
Night game in Baton Rouge. They have a very high dislike for Alabama over there. That's an incredible atmosphere.
There are a couple of crazy things going on. I mean, for years, Alabama didn't lose in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
I mean, Alabama had a streak of over 25 years where they did not lose playing in Baton Rouge. Now, LSU under Brian Kelly, unbeaten under the lights. At Death Valley.
He's been, you know, up and down and such, but he's won a lot of big games when he needs to, and this is, I feel like this is when LSU needs to.
So. Oh, they have to. Well, I mean, both teams.
Both teams, yeah.
Because a loss is going to be the third loss for whoever loses this ball game will have three losses, and I don't think you're getting into the playoff with three losses. There's so many one and two loss teams right now. Yeah, this one is really interesting. I mean, LSU defensively struggled early. They looked like they played better. I don't know how you know how much better they are really defensively. Alabama though has given up some big plays defensively as well.
They have, and they struggled on offense at Tennessee with that noise. And you just wonder, have they made enough? You know, does that experience make them a lot better? Or are they going to have the same troubles?
Well,
they had then.
They're 0-2 on the road in the conference.
Yeah,
I mean because they've gone to Vandy and Tennessee and lost
both
of those.
That's right.
So they're looking to pick up their first road win. I'm really intrigued by this one. I mean, whichever quarterback, I mean, both of them can really put up some huge numbers. Garrett Nussmeier and Jalen Milroe.
But Nussmeier has thrown it to the other team a lot too.
He has.
And Milroe has at times too. So. Just never know.
Yeah, that's I think the key there is can one of the teams get a running game really going? If so, that's going to help their outstanding quarterbacks tremendously.
You got Georgia at Ole Miss, which should be
that,
a good game.
Well, that is an elimination game for Ole Miss.
It is.
That's a must win for Ole Miss. Georgia might still be, you know, if Georgia could win out after this game against Ole Miss, they'd include a win over Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have wins over Texas and Tennessee and are 10-2, I think they're in.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So, I mean, this one is not as much of a must-win for Georgia, but that may make them a little looser. I wonder. I mean, I really wonder, you know, Lane is not happy that they're not playing at night. Kentucky, right. I mean, Ole Miss has not had a night game, not a home night game this year.
Well, I guess Auburn might. Against A&M, that's still one of those flex games. I think.
Yeah, it's a three.
Sure
it's an afternoon or evening, I think.
Yeah.
But I mean, no. But Auburn isn't nationally ranked like Ole Miss. Usually, when you're a top team, you're one of the top teams, you're going to get one of those marquee primetime games.
It's pretty ridiculous, if you ask me.
Yeah,
there's no reason they shouldn't have that.
Oh well, I mean, it's because Alabama LSU is a bigger ball game.
Well, yeah.
For the eyes of the nation, even though it, you know, Georgia is the higher ranked team of the four, but this one, the feeling is, I mean, Georgia's got more talent than Ole Miss, but something just seems to be missing a little bit from Georgia. I mean, maybe it's because
it's
you've been spoiled
game.
Seeing. Yeah, you're right. Seeing how good they are, and Carson Beck's thrown some. He's thrown the ball to the other team a lot. Six interceptions in his last two
something
ball
like
games?
Something like that, yeah.
I mean,
I think their lack of running game has negatively affected him a lot. But their defense sure seems, now they've got some injured players back, sure seems like it's destroying teams right now, especially what it did to Texas.
And that's going to be the key for Ole Miss is to try to keep Jackson Dart safe.
Yep. They can do that. They
because
can
if
light
Jackson
it up.
Dart has time, then Ole Miss is deadly. So those are the two big games in the SEC. There are a couple of other ones that are pretty interesting. South Carolina and Vandy in Nashville.
Yeah,
who would have thought that?
Yep.
I mean, early on this year, there was, Shane Beamer's on the hot seat, and nobody was buying into, Vandy's going to be that much improved this year. I mean, right now, Vandy's got a chance to win their seventh game.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, if they can beat South Carolina at home. And, of course, the Gamecocks coming off of that very impressive win over Texas A&M.
They are. And I think Texas A&M, weren't they coming off a big win?
Yes, they were.
Yeah,
Texas A&M
beat LSU,
had
right?
beaten LSU.
Yep.
Yeah,
and now
it's
South Carolina's
tough.
Coming
it is
off a
tough
big win.
That week after a big win.
It really is. And they're going.
So that's what happened to Auburn this
They're past. Going to Vanderbilt. Everybody knows how tough it is to play at Vanderbilt, right?
Yeah, just ask Nick Saban.
Yeah. But Vanderbilt is just the best coach team in this conference, right? They don't have more talent than
Clark Lee
anybody.
Should be the SEC coach of the year.
He should be. Absolutely should be. 100%.
I mean, because, I mean, there were folks saying, well, maybe Mike Elko. Well, they lost last week. So, I mean, they've lost a couple of ball games. Yeah. Vandy's only lost three to this point.
Yep.
That's crazy.
And it's Vandy we're talking about. We're not talking about A&M or Alabama or LSU or Texas. This is Vandy.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, my feeling on this one is, I mean, that was a huge win for South Carolina. And I know Nashville's not the toughest place to go in and play. But if Diego Pavia is healthier, if he's close to 100%, Vandy is a handful, man. They
really are.
I wouldn't be shocked at all. I'm pulling for Vandy this one, just because what a great story it's been. And then we were talking about Florida a little while ago. Man, they have played a whole lot better. You know, having great opportunities against Tennessee and Georgia.
Yep.
Hard to imagine that they'll be able to go into Austin and hang with them, but crazier things have happened. Yeah. I think a lot of it depends
super tough
on
schedule. Yeah.
I mean, if they're having to play the walk-on transfer from Yale, they got no chance.
No.
I mean, you know, it's a great story, but he will be just eaten alive by Texas. They need DJ Lagway.
Yeah, I don't think I didn't look at the latest.
Well, I mean, I think he's questionable, maybe doubtful, but I just don't know.
Let's see. He is listed. Graham Mertz is out, of course.
Yes.
He's questionable now.
Questionable. So, yeah. So I mean, that's what Napier has been saying, is that, you know, they're sort of 50-50 on him, going to see how he goes, how he reacts game day.
But if he can't move as well, that takes a big part of his.
That absolutely does. And then you got the Missouri-Oklahoma game, which I thought would be a much bigger ball game. It's like South Carolina Vandy's a bigger ball game than Missouri Oklahoma, because those two teams are combined 3-6 in the conference, and two of those wins have come over Auburn. So they're 1-6 against everybody but Auburn.
Wow.
As they play each other, and Missouri was a team that looked like with their schedule they'd have an opportunity to make a run, but they're just, I mean, we saw it when Auburn played them. They're okay. Yeah. They're nothing really special, and if Brady Cook is out. And I think he's either questionable or doubtful. And the thing that was crazy is I was looking at the line. The line opened, Missouri was 2.5-point favorites. Oklahoma's now a 3-point favorite. Hmm. Somebody knows something for that line to have changed that much. So those are your SEC games. Well, I left out the Mississippi State-Tennessee game, because I mean, State's getting better offensively. Jeff Lebby knows what he's doing offensively.
Not against that defense.
No. And and they're in Knoxville. That's I don't think that one's going to be pretty.
Colorado at Texas Tech could be interesting.
I do. I really think that one could. Texas Tech with a big win last week. Colorado is
playing for the Big 12.
They're a lot better. They're a lot better than I thought they would be this year.
Clemson at Virginia Tech could be interesting. Maybe.
Yeah.
Clemson lost to – who did they lose to? Lost to somebody.
Yeah, who did Clemson lose to last week? Louisville. That's right.
Yeah, sure, it got pounded by Louisville.
Yeah, I was way wrong on that one, Brian. Yeah.
I was wrong on a lot of them.
Yeah. I told Brian, I was thinking, oh, crap, I've got to get my picks in for Brian for the picking contest that we do there on AuburnSports.com, but not one this week, so at least don't have to look at how bad I did last week.
Yeah, we need the off week.
All right, 334-321-1390. Let's get to the drive hotline. And Specter is up first. Hey, Specter.
Hey there. Brian, I don't know if you're going to be available next week, too?
I'll be here Monday.
All right, great. Well, I'll just go ahead and ask you today, and I'll ask you again Monday.
All right.
Listen, it's been a busy week for me, so I haven't had any news from the Plains. And you're the guy that knows. Is anything going on with the football players being a change of positions or anything?
Well, the biggest thing that came out, Specter, was when Hugh Freeze said at SEC teleconference, he was asked about the quarterback situation, and he said the staff is considering a change. So that would be the biggest news.
Okay. Is anything happening on the practice field? Are you all able to see any of that?
Not this week. What they did do, though, I think they practiced Sunday or Monday. They took off Tuesday. That was
right,
for
and they
election
practiced
day.
Wednesday, Thursday.
And they had two hard practices on Wednesday and Thursday was the plan. And then I think they'll come back on Sunday and start a regular game week. So
no one was able to see that, right?
No. We there wasn't a viewing window for. That's what I was just asking Brian. I'm hoping there's a viewing window for next week, so we'll be able to see, you know, who's working where and in what order.
Okay, I heard either late last week or early this week that some of the radio shows were saying that there was going to be a big change and all that in the backfield, and so I didn't know what was going on, so I just thought I'd call in to find out.
Yeah. We mentioned at the start of the show that I think personally that Hank Brown has a pretty good chance of being the starter this week. We'll see what Hugh Freeze has to say about it Monday, but he did mention they were what was the word he used? They were
when he talked with us?
Wednesday on Tiger
Wednesday,
Talk,
I think it was considering.
Yeah, something like that. Taking a look at it, and right. They'll continue to take a look at it. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. I guess I'll touch base with you next week then, see if you see anything.
All right. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Spectre. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if he will tell us that. The other thing is, I mean, I think it's worth asking, is Walker White still the scout team quarterback?
Yeah.
I mean, because even if they don't want to say who the starter is, I think they would say if Walker's going to be working with the group that is doing some game prep. So we will see. And it's, you know, and sure, it's been something that's been talked about an awful lot. And I think as we were heading into the open week, it just the feeling has been, well, you know, pretty much is what it is. You still have a chance at a bowl game, but if you want to have any idea about would you really like everybody back or certain people back, then you need to be able to put them out there, let them have the opportunity to show it in live game action in front of a crowd.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm a little skeptical on Walker playing this season. I think the plan was for him to redshirt, get used to things.
Yeah, the plan
and come
was
back,
also to win
come back
eight or
and,
nine games.
Yeah, also, exactly. So plans change.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, get some time during bowl practice, which probably isn't happening, and then in the spring to really start competing for the job. But
yeah, that's the other thing. I hadn't really thought of it in that way, but you're probably not going to have bowl practice, so you might want to go ahead and see what you can see.
Get some of those young guys more reps that you can. And
I
do think Auburn's quarterback room will look a lot different.
A few
months from now.
Mm-hmm.
A couple months from now.
We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Right back with more of your phone calls. 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon, 25 minutes away from 5 o'clock. Bill and Brian here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and I think we've got a familiar voice on the other end of the line here from out in the winter wonderland of Denver, Colorado. Dan.
Never heard of
him. Hey, guys. How you doing? Good. I still work here, right?
I don't know. I haven't seen your name on anything here this week. What's going on in Denver? T-Bone was telling us that some good friends of his were flying out of Denver, headed to Houston, and they got the last plane out.
Yeah, that's about right. We flew in from Bozeman this morning, and flew into a winter storm, and we were a little delayed getting in. And by the time we got to the gate, our connecting flight to Atlanta had already left, and so we are sort of trying to figure out our way our next move. But yeah, I'm here in the Atlanta airport with the rest of the team trying to figure out how we're going to get home. We got Alabama on Sunday in Tuscaloosa.
You're in Denver.
We're in Denver. Yeah,
okay, because you just said you were in Atlanta, and I thought, wow, you're.
We were supposed to fly to Atlanta.
Okay,
and we missed that flight. By minutes earlier today, and
great.
So yeah, now they're trying to figure out a way to get us anywhere that isn't Denver. I think is what they're trying to do right now.
No telling, you may have to go through Chicago or something. I mean, it's
I voted to make the 20-hour drive, but I think their cooler heads are prevailing right now on that one.
Man. Well, that's
So I'll be back.
How has the trip been?
Oh, no, the trip's been fantastic. Bozeman's an amazing city. You know, really, it's gorgeous and, you know, vibrant downtown. You know, a lot of cool stuff that I got to see. And Buffalo was fun too. You know, it was a shorter trip to Buffalo. We were really just there to play the game, so I didn't do too much exploring.
Oh, I thought you guys were going to Niagara Falls.
We did do Niagara Falls, which was a blast. We did that, you know, on the way back from the airport, you know, a brief visit to Niagara Falls, which was gorgeous. And yeah, you know, a highlight of the Buffalo trip for sure. But this is the last couple of hours have put a bit of a damper on things.
Oh,
you know, you can't predict these kind of things. So we're frantically trying to get home.
Well, we're hoping you make it. I mean,
Hey, you're telling me.
Well, the thing is, all you've got to be is in Tuscaloosa by Sunday, right?
Right. Yeah, 2 p.m. Sunday. We play the Tide at Coleman, and so we'll. You know, I'm confident that things will work out for us. They always do. But it's been a long day in the Denver airport today, watching a lot of snow accumulate on the runway.
Mm. Hey, did you have a chance to watch any of the Auburn Vermont game Wednesday?
Oh, I mean, I did. I was shocked by how sharp the team looked. I mean, Justin Ferguson said it was probably the most complete game he's seen Auburn play in the Pearl era, and I think it's absolutely, in the discussion. I mean,
that was Auburn domination of a good team.
Yeah, it was domination of a high quality mid major opponent. Auburn took, I mean, just it, so many good shots, and I don't know if Vermont felt like everything Vermont tried was contested, right? Like everything Vermont was trying was contested, and I was blown away by how sharp they looked on Saturday night or on Wednesday night.
Yeah, and we had said. Yes, Miles Kelly could be a difference maker, and he could be what Auburn needs from the outside. But my goodness, what a show he put on!
Yeah,
yeah. I said on the Observer podcast, Bill. It was like the old Bozo bucket game. Like, I mean, every it felt like every three pointer was like a couple feet back of the previous one, and he was just seeing, you know, how you know what is to the point where, I mean, he's shooting from where they do the, you know, where they do the putt. Right
from
across
about.
The court, like so. Yeah, I mean he's shooting from there. So no, he.
Well, did you see? You know, they didn't show it. They didn't show it. I don't believe on TV. But did Justin tell you about the shot he made at the end of the first half?
I've seen video.
Oh,
I've seen
man.
Clips of the shot at the end of the first half. I mean that's locked in.
I mean that was a 91 footer that was just sort of the all right, just wait till the second half, they're going to start counting because he was 1 3-pointer shy of Auburn's single game record that Bryce Brown has, and it's like they ought to give him bonus just for making that one that came right after the buzzer at the halftime.
What did they end up shooting as a team?
16 of 35, but they missed their last seven after they started making changes at the very in the last 4 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, just
they were 16
really,
of 28
really,
when he hit that last long-range three.
Mm-hmm.
Such an impressive first game of the season. Such an impressive way to start things off at home. And I mean, that's knowing the quality of the opponent that Auburn faces tomorrow night. That's probably how you want to. That's how you wanted them to look.
Oh no doubt about it. I mean, he was concerned when he talked before the Vermont game because they'd played so well against Florida Atlantic and saying, you know, I don't know if you can expect that kind of energy and performance. And it was even better than it was against Florida Atlantic. So, I mean, if they can just come up with anything resembling the effort that they had against Vermont, they're going to need it because this Houston team is extremely talented.
Yeah, what a weekend we've got in college athletics, right? I mean, with the SEC showdown that you're talking about tomorrow in football, plus you got a Kansas-North Carolina game that's about to start, right, in college basketball, plus plus Auburn-Houston tomorrow night. I mean, there are heavyweight title fights in college football and college basketball these next couple of days.
Yeah, no question. It's going to be fun. Love to get your thoughts on it. Yeah, what you got?
I gotta be honest, guys. I'm really just calling about Todd Golden, right?
Oh,
I mean, that's
yes,
I mean,
yeah.
Oh,
we just talked
oh,
about
boy.
That. Yeah.
I mean, this feels. I mean, who thought that was the Florida coach that was going to get fired?
No kidding. I mean, what a news, you know, there's been news just, was it just yesterday that Billy Napier gets the approval, gets the words, Scott Strickland saying Billy Napier will be the coach next year, and then today comes the bombshell allegations against Todd Golden.
Yeah, Billy Napier might be coaching the basketball team next year too. I mean, it's shocking, and that's a guy who I think most people would have tabbed as one of the rising stars under 40 in the industry, and instead you're talking about a guy who's got a, it seems like he's in real trouble.
Oh yeah, no question. I mean, these are serious, very serious allegations. Sexual harassment, stalking, and cyber stalking against multiple women, including students at the University of Florida.
Yeah, once campus safety becomes a concern, I mean that it supersedes in most cases winning and other stuff, and that's a real mess they've got on their hands.
Oh no doubt about it. That is that's going to be something. I think. It's hard to imagine that there won't be, you know, something done about this pretty quickly.
I wonder if he coaches another game at the University of Florida. I think these things happen quickly in this industry, and yeah, I think it is unclear what happens next in that situation, but I think it most likely, you know, it feels like the end for Todd Golden. That's how serious these allegations are.
Oh yeah, I mean these aren't the kind of allegations that anyone can take lightly or not take action against. So I would at least expect a pretty immediate suspension.
Next game is Monday against Grambling State. They played Thursday night and beat Jacksonville by 21.
Maybe it's not career ending, but I think when it comes to his tenure at the University of Florida. Yeah. Like that's in real jeopardy after the news of the last couple of hours.
Oh yeah, you're absolutely right, Dan. Love to get
what,
you.
What do you?
No, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, Bill. What are you thinking about tomorrow night?
I loved what we saw out of Auburn. I mean, they've got so many different ways to beat you now. I mean, the other night, Vermont worried about Janai Broome, and Janai still had 12-7 or 8. And had a couple of nice assists, but that freed up Chaney Johnson a little bit inside. But if Auburn shoots it, if Auburn has multiple shooters, especially with Denver and Miles and a third shooter, Tahad has the ability to do that. Chad can get hot and do that. He hit a couple of threes the other night. But if Auburn has multiple shooters, especially when you've got a guy like Miles that has that size on a wing, that's going to make it really difficult for teams to be overly concerned. They're almost going to have to play you man.
Yeah.
And I think Auburn's got more players that can make plays, that can create and make plays. So I think they've got a really good shot against the Cougars.
I really liked how they played defense against Vermont. They just got after it. The first team or the bench players just came in and then played really physical, played really intense defense. Vermont is a team that does not turn the ball over. I think they had
12
in the
first
country
half.
Last year. They only had 5 at UAB, and they turned over, I think, 16 times in that game. Like you said, 12 in the first half. So that, to me, was really impressive.
I wouldn't overreact to a loss. A competitive loss tomorrow night, because I think these are two of the top teams in college basketball. I think if one team is clearly a lot better than the other, if it feels like Gonzaga Baylor did earlier this week, where it's supposed to be this matchup of genuine Final Four contenders, and it turns into a really one sided affair, I think that could cause some uncomfortable questions on the losing side. And I think for the winner in that situation, you feel like you might have the best team in the country.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, this is a great opportunity for Auburn playing out there, and I think Bruce is looking forward to quite a decent Auburn crowd as well. But this is great. It's it's the first of quite a few challenges that this Auburn basketball team is going to have this year.
Who'd you take in the in some of the Doug
Yeah, I was gonna ask you your thoughts. Probably the wrong side, the way we've been picking all year.
I don't know how Alabama LSU turns out. I'm tempted to take LSU just because they're at home. Like, I think the game's that.
Brian Kelly hasn't lost a night game at home since he's been there. But Alabama has a history of playing very well in Baton Rouge, but not under Kalen DeBoer. And Alabama also hasn't won a road conference game yet this year.
Yeah, I mean, incredible to think. And then as far as Ole Miss winning would really throw a wrench into the college football playoff,
because you
could potentially have two really good 10-2 teams at the end of the season in the SEC, and of course you still have Georgia, Tennessee coming up as well. I just how it is about picking Ole Miss in a big game, Bill.
Yep, I do. I took them in the points though for some crazy reason, Dan. I don't know why.
I don't think, and the points isn't all that crazy, but I think Georgia's winning.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I mean, Georgia's defense, I think, is the reason that I'm going to pick them. Defense usually gives you a really good shot on the road. They've got to get after Jackson Dart and.
Ole Miss is at home, but so was Texas. Right?
That's right. Yep.
I mean,
that is right.
Didn't stop Georgia. I mean, that Georgia defensive line doesn't care. I mean, they'll go to Mars and beat you if you're not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, a couple of great ball games there. Heck, we were saying South Carolina Vandy's an interesting one as well.
Yeah, South Carolina. I mean, I've been wrong every week about South Carolina. So I'll take Vandy because it's a great story. But at some point, I'm going to stop picking against Shane Beamer. I mean, either the season's going to end, or I'm going to stop picking against Shane Beamer this season because his team is overachieving as much as. I mean, Vanderbilt's in there too, as far as the team in the
SEC. Clark Lee, I think, is your SEC Coach of the Year. I mean, speaking of, over expectations for sure.
No, I think he's absolutely he's probably distanced himself a little bit from whoever else you would have in that picture.
Dan, great hearing from you, man. I hope you guys get something figured out pretty soon, and I'm sure you'll be back sometime, but hopefully back in time enough to rest up a little bit before you have to head to Tuscaloosa and back.
Hey, Bill, are you busy the next couple of days? Would you mind driving out to Denver and then coming and getting me? I'll pay for lunch.
I was going to say, if somebody pays me mileage, man, I can be all about that. Yeah,
get you. I'll get you a burger or something here in
I'm confident. I mean, how serious? Is it a real concern that you may have to like stay there overnight?
I mean, we're working to get out of here. But I would, with every passing minute, I'd say it becomes more real.
Mm. Well, we're hoping that something pops up and a flight becomes available to get you guys out of there pretty soon.
Yeah, maybe hopefully I'll see you guys Monday.
Yeah, I hope so. Hope we hear about if we hear that the game is being played in Tuscaloosa on Sunday, I'll feel really good.
Yeah, make sure it's real. Make sure there's not like impersonators there, right? But otherwise, like I would say that's probably right.
All right, big guy, take care.
All right, talk to you guys later.
See you,
Dan Peck, joining us from the airport in Denver, where the Troy women's team is trying to find a flight back home. All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Still time. We're on it for about another 45 minutes or so. So come on in. Give us a call, 334-321-1390, here on the Friday Drive.
When bones get out of joint or... Vitamin.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final couple of minutes of hour number one here on the Friday Drive. Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. And again, as I mentioned earlier, it's going to be an abbreviated edition of the drive. Auburn women's basketball, every ball game is going to be here on ESPN 106.7. And when they play, so when they play early ball games, that means that... The broadcast will supersede the Drive. And tonight they've got a 6 o'clock game tonight. So the airtime's going to be around 5:40. So we'll be on the air till between 5:35 and 5:40 this afternoon. So you've got about, they'll have a half an hour or so when we come back. They had an impressive win over Southern Illinois in their first regular season game. Tonight it's Virginia coming in tonight. Virginia University Lynchburg coming in tonight. 6 o'clock tip. So again, a little after 5:35 or so, we will be exiting. So that's what's coming up. We've got a half an hour to go. We've got some Bruce Pearl audio. Have some audio from Janai Broome and Chaney Johnson as well. But love to hear from you in the final 40 minutes of the Friday Drive.
At ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two here on the Friday Drive. Bill and Brian Matthews. Brian, kind enough to come back in and give us a repeat performance from this week on the Friday Drive. He's still, at least he's saying, and we're going to hold him to it, saying he's going to be in on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Got to.
Monday, Veterans Day, by the way. So,
is it? Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, good.
Yes, shout out to all of the veterans. And,
yes.
Remember, that's why if you have any time off, or if you're wondering why there's no mail or the banks aren't open,
right,
it's Veterans Day on Monday. But the Drive will be on the air, and Brian will be in. Hopefully Dan's here. He checked in with us an hour number one from Denver.
We hope he can make it home by then.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, he's there, of course, with the Troy women's basketball team after they've been to Buffalo and Bozeman, Montana. Their flight, they were supposed to change flights and get a flight in Denver, and they just missed their flight, and it's snowing, and They're hoping right now. But Dan should be in on Monday. But it's Bill and Brian here in hour number two of The Drive, which is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Brian, before we get into some stuff, though, just talk a little bit about what's going on with it being an open date in football, Auburn's final open date before they close out with home games against ULM and Texas A&M and then go on the road to Tuscaloosa. I mean, there is still an awful lot going on. We've been talking about Auburn-Houston basketball, but high school football playoffs are going. Recruiting is definitely still something that everyone wants to know about. And, man, you guys are on top of everything.
Yeah, and these next two home games for Auburn, ULM and Texas A&M, are going to be really important to get all those commits back on campus. Some of them are being recruited pretty heavily by other schools, and also to try to round out this class with some more official visits. And that brings me to the rule change that just came down. I think I understand it now, but the NCAA has relaxed any restrictions on official visits for schools. I think it had changed. I think when I first started this, it was around 30, maybe. I don't remember the exact number.
Official visits?
Yeah, that a school could host. Maybe it was close to 50.
No, it was 56.
56, there you go.
It was 56.
And then it moved to 70, and
right
now it's unlimited. But it's still a prospect can still only take one official visit to a school. So that has not changed,
well,
as far as I know.
But one of the things the NCAA had done is it used to also be players could only take 5 official visits.
Right.
They had said, forget that. You can take as many official visits as you would like. So it makes sense that if players have unlimited official visits, that schools would be able to bring in as many players as they wanted.
Sure. And you've got the I don't know if this also goes to the transfer portal. Maybe it does. But you've got all those visits, too.
Right. Yeah, of course, in the transfer, a lot of the guys in the transfer portal don't even visit. I mean, a lot of them enter the portal and make a decision, and they're somewhere before they even visit.
Well, it's usually because when that happens, it's usually because they have a relationship and they've been to that school before. So
And we know, of course, there's no contact that ever goes on until those players are in the portal.
Well, there needs to be if you're a school that's trying to build a roster back and has been through several losing seasons and needs to get back to winning really quickly. So you better do what it takes.
Yeah, and thus far, I mean, Auburn's recruiting has been really good. Now, the key here is hang on to the guys you've got, as many of them as possible, and then add to that here over the next 3.5 weeks, because we're closing in on the on the signing period. They still call it the early signing period, but it will be the main signing period, which comes up December 3rd or 4th, I guess.
It's December 4th, I believe, and then I think the transfer portal opens at the end of December, the 28th maybe?
27th or 20, something like that. Maybe it's the 21st.
No, it's the 9th. I'm sorry, it's the 9th. And close on the 28th. It's the 9th,
no, that's right. That's right. Yeah, because it opens the day after conference championship games.
So it's just five. You've got Monday signing day, and then 5 days later the portal opens. I mean, that is going to be a crazy several weeks right before signing day, and then the portal.
You also have signing day, conference championship games, and having an idea who's going to be in the college football playoff and the transfer portal. All happening like at the same time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, I like the fact that they have cut some of the things down, but it's interesting to me now that we've got a smaller period in December and then a very short period in the spring as far as the transfer portal is concerned. I understand one of the reasons they're doing that is because players, they don't want to restrict player movement after the spring and after players have had a chance to go through winter workouts and spring practice. But that's one of the things. I know there are a lot of coaches that were hoping that it was just going to be one winter portal, one there midterm.
Yeah, that's just not going to work. Even if they try to do that, they're just going to be sued and lose.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is what they always do. So why bother with it?
Yeah. I mean, it does, though. It makes it so difficult. And, of course, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars. Yep. But it makes it so difficult when you don't have any idea. You're still juggling your roster and having to, face the possibility of finding some guys in the transfer portal in the spring after you've done everything you could there during the signing period in the winter portal.
Yeah, and I think with the current administration coming in January – there's a really high possibility now of something happening legally.
With Congress.
With Congress, thank you, passing some legislation
to
oversee NCAA. I think that's coming now. I think the people that the NCAA and the conference commissioners and ADs have talked to are the guys that are coming into full power right now. So there's going to be something coming down, some sort of antitrust exemption for college football. So we'll see exactly what that looks like. I'm not an expert on that, right? But it's definitely going in that direction
now. Oh yeah, and it absolutely needs to be. There need to be some rails to keep you from running over all the time. Need to be some kind of guidelines. And the revenue sharing is coming. I mean,
you know that.
I mean, so
that's been settled in a court case.
You know, we still don't know exact roster sizes, though, do we?
No, Ufreeze has asked about this on the teleconference, and he said he is still, or they have been informed to expect or plan for 85 for this year.
That's interesting,
which is really interesting.
Because I saw a quote from a, I think it was an ACC coach last week that said they're expecting 105. So
that's something doesn't seem right there, so I'm just going to say let's just wait and see.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
I don't think it's – well, football's not going to get smaller.
No.
That's one thing, I mean, I'm sure of. I mean, you've seen some of the other talk of other roster sizes shrinking. But if they go to 85, that better not be the roster size. There'll be a whole lot more coaches to decide they're getting out of it if they only have 85 players to work with, because you may not see those walk-ons an awful lot on the field, but they need them in preparation. Boy,
see a lot of them out there at practice.
When Don Dunn's with us, he has said no question. You need over 100, and they had 120.
Yeah.
You know, they were practicing, including all the walk-ons. So
And they'd have tryouts. I think at least twice a year, maybe.
Yeah.
For walk-ons, if I'm not mistaken. Been a minute, but it was big back then.
So we will see, but yes, that is coming up, and I'm sure coverage of Auburn commits in the postseason in the high school playoffs
happening right now
and possibilities. Yep, Deuce Knight's team got they got bumped last night.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not one guy. One guy's not going to beat a really good team,
right?
But yeah, I mean, you can keep up with all that and much more there at auburnsports.com.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate that. And we'll have plenty of coverage of the basketball game Saturday night. And then once we get back into Monday, Hugh Freeze will be back for his press conference. All of my musings, which are sponsored by Uncle Keith's Red Sauce, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious. And plenty more. Trying to get out to baseball. I'm not going to be able to make it tonight. We'll see about tomorrow.
Now, this was
the first.
This is the players.
Player drafted teams.
Yes.
And then next week will be the coach drafted teams.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have many more updates from baseball as soon as I can get out there and talk to some folks and watch some things and hearing some great things about, is it Chris Rembert, the
yes.
freshman, having mm-hmm. a terrific spring so far.
Yeah, there are a few of the young guys that
yes.
that have really
yes.
had really good fall
Heck
practice.
Heck of a freshman class.
Yeah. 334-321-1390, that's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. You can also text us on the Drive text box. That's 534-564-1840. And that's presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsored the podcast of the Drive. Let's get to the Drive hotline. And Bill is up first. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. I was just listening to some of your remarks there about the recruiting. And I know that you guys are much more knowledgeable of it than I am as far as the you know, the only thing I'm really concerned about with the season going sideways like it has, I'm not overly confident we're going to do much in the last three games. But how difficult is it going to be to keep, listen, I know this is a $64,000 question, but to keep the young players we've got and the majority of this recruiting class coming in? Because you know, we were close this year. We lost games, mm-hmm. 7, 10. You know, we were, with the exception of Georgia, we were there.
Oh, you're right. I mean, out of the six losses, Auburn felt like they could have won the other five.
Yeah.
And you know, I really believe, a lot of people don't, you read this junk on social media, you know, people wanting people fired and start over again, and they obviously don't realize what it takes to get a program like that turned around, because Gus didn't recruit particularly well the last 2 years. Of course, Harsin either wouldn't or couldn't recruit, and so you get a big hole to fill, and you don't dig out of that overnight. So my question is, do you believe we have a chance to hang on to our current youthful players, and certainly ones coming in?
Well, I think this is the most interesting thing happening with Auburn football right now, just to be honest with you. Because if you go back and look at Florida, which is in a similar situation last year, and it really fell apart.
They lost just about everybody last year.
Most of their top guys were picked off, including two by Auburn.
Yeah.
Yep. But it's not trending that way for Auburn right now. In fact, they've been able to add players like Deuce Knight and Sam Turner and flip them from other schools during this time when they've been mm-hmm. struggling on the field.
They've got a chance to add more.
Yeah, they absolutely do. Yes.
I hope you're right, because I think that we're close. You're not going to turn. Like I told you guys a couple weeks ago, you know, with the holes we had in the roster, and even sure, a lot of the guys, Coach Freeze, were not gotten to the portal of the people he selected, but the pickings were kind of slim then, if I remember correctly. And, you know, he's trying to build this thing to the high schools, like Kirby Smart did, and of course Coach Saban did, and I think that's the way to go. And you live and die in portal players, you know. That's kind of risk. I know Ole Miss has had some success with it, but I'd really like to see us, you know, get some a lot of the better high school players in. And of course, you patch holes in with the portal, but I hope that we can do a little bit in the last three games. I hate to see this.
That would be nice.
I really believe we're close, guys. I really believe we're close, but it's you know, it's difficult to watch at times. But what's the old saying? Rome won, building a day, and hopefully we'll get there. Anyway, I appreciate the show.
Good hearing from you, Bill. And yeah, you're right, Brian. I mean, Auburn has held on to these guys.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying they won't have any defections, because flips happen.
I mean, even schools doing well.
Yeah, right? That's exactly right.
I mean, Notre Dame's doing pretty good, and Auburn flipped a great, you know, their best player in their class from them. So
yeah.
It absolutely happens.
I mean, and you know, and look at last year when Auburn was able to flip some guys from Alabama, from A&M, from Georgia.
Yes.
I mean, you know, they did that, so it can happen. So don't be, you know, don't feel like, well, it's the end of the world if somebody does go the other way. But no, it hasn't seemed at all like what we saw at Florida last year.
No, it has not. And we'll see if they can maintain that over the next four
right.
weeks until we get to it. But so far I'll say pleasantly surprised. That's a good way to,
I think so too.
I think they've done a great job, and that says something about the staff. They're able to hold this together like they're. And then he mentioned the portal last year. I don't think Auburn has handled the portal well so far.
I think Hugh Freeze realizes that.
And he brought in Will Redmond to try to fix that as GM of player personnel. And so I would expect a better, more organized effort, starting December 9th when that portal opens. And especially when you're looking at Auburn team that needs to be extremely aggressive at certain positions like quarterback and left tackle. They need to jump early and jump fast. So we'll see if I'm right or not.
Yeah, and one of the things that Auburn did early on was trying to line up guys to come in and get the last visit.
Yeah.
If you're not first, you may be last.
Yeah, all those last visits never took place for most of them.
Yep. Yeah. All right, we'll get to our first break here of hour number two. We've got some Bruce Pearl audio from yesterday previewing the matchup against Houston tomorrow night. But again, your calls come first, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Friday Drive.
What's up, guys? This is Bailey from 12K Salon. Are you on
ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com
to be a part of The Drive or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Yeah, Friday evening. Again, it's been a week, and I'm still not.
Potentially could be six games for us in the non-conference against top 14 teams. 4 to 6 teams. And I was worried about Houston. I mean, I was worried about Vermont, as I should have been. Houston is they're their coach. You know, they Calvin Sampson, his teams played the same way for a long time. They play hard. They're physical. Great rebounding team. A great defensive team. They win every 50-50 ball. They play the right way. They play as a team. There's a culture there for sure. They just, with the exception of one player, they bring pretty much everybody else back, and they've replaced that kid with Shed, with a great point guard from Oklahoma transfer. And we're going to be get exposed. I would think whoever wins the rebounding battle are going to be important. Both teams have demonstrated they're both really solid defensively, and big, the numbers are the top two teams in the KenPom ratings. These are two of the top defensive teams in the country, so it could be first to 50.
BP, I guess there was a lot to like yesterday, but what was maybe the one thing that you loved the most about their performance?
Well, last night, I don't know how in the world we could have shot it any better. And then to see on, three separate occasions, Denver Jones, Chad Baker, Miles Kelly, all have pretty hot runs where, they played really well and in great rhythm and made some incredible shots. But it was also good to see, Chaney Johnson have a period of some real dominant play, both inside and out. Dylan was great defensively. Janai was really good offensively, and played with played very unselfishly. Knew he was going to get doubled some, and was as excited to, not be the leading scorer because of the way they defended us, and watch some of his teammates do it. Which I was really, not surprised but really pleased. I thought we played hard for 40 minutes. Didn't foul. We defend without fouling, which was a really positive thing.
We should talk about defense. What stands out the most about K
Kelvin Sampson's defenses? Because it seems like every year, like y'all, they'll
blitz ball screens. You know, they put two on the ball and make it really hard. But they'll also adjust if we start getting our bigs out and bother them there. They'll make that adjustment to guards' physical getting through screens. But they don't, you know, they don't let you. They're really brilliant ball screen defensive team. They got great help side. They make plays out of ball screens. So there are some people. I remember I listened to Bill Rafferty call the Duke game from last year, and you know Bill said, if I was Duke, I would never run a ball screen. Well, we're a pretty heavy ball screen offensive team, so that's just not going to happen. But that's how good they are in ball screen defense.
Bruce, you mentioned you might go with different starting lineups this year depending on the opponent, but even just the lineups you do have throughout the game, what do you want to see? What do you think your team can do well to match up against Houston with the depth you guys have?
Well, one of the things about Houston is they've got two front line. Their 4 and 5 are both inside players, clearly inside players, that'll play 25 or 30 minutes together, and then they'll play about 10 minutes of small ball. And so your traditional four-man for many teams will have a hard time with Houston because their four-man is a monster. You know, Roberts is a powerful player. So we'll play some big as we have. If we start a foul trouble, maybe play it a little bit more.
Hey, Bruce. With the election this week, obviously you've been very outspoken about your political beliefs. Has there, you know, in support for Donald Trump, has there been any concern personally or, you know, maybe from people around you about potential impact on the program in any, you know, in any facet, whether it be in recruiting or other areas?
Yeah, I'm glad it's basketball season, right? And I'm sure people that follow me on Twitter are glad that it's basketball season. I spend more time on issues and policy than I do politics, really. Sometimes, you know, they do get political, but it's more about policy and issues. And obviously, with Israel being at war and the tremendous increase and rise in anti-Semitism, public display of anti-Semitism in this country, and the things that sort of led up to a couple of Holocausts that have taken place, one back in Germany and the other one on October 7th, a year and a half ago. And so Dr. King said silence is complicity. I'm not going to be silent. As an American Jewish person that is in the public eye, I feel like it's my responsibility to try to speak the truth, know my Bible, know my history, because we do have a problem with education in this country. And so as a teacher and a coach, I do spend most of my time just trying to provide accurate information so people can have an better understanding of the situation.
Coach, you have this big non-conference schedule starting with Houston. I mean, how much is it going to help your team down the line? Was that the main motivation for having such a tough non-conference schedule?
Well, I mean, I think regardless of the outcome, playing the number one or two team on the road and a team that is physical and old as Houston, I mean, where is it going to get harder? Maybe at Duke, maybe at Alabama, you know? I mean, we'll have – and so, you know, if we're fortunate enough to make the NCAA tournament, and I'm always gonna put it like that, for real, what opponent will we play on a neutral site that's going to be more difficult than at Houston, at Duke, or at Alabama? That would just – I can't think of any. So if we can – have some success, or we can, you know, even survive. That's going to be good for the development of our team. And more than anything, it's just the idea of the fact that Kelvin Sampson and Houston thought this would be a good game and a series where they were willing to come here, have us go to Houston and come back to Birmingham. And same thing with Purdue, or the same thing with Ohio State being willing to come to Atlanta and play us there. Same thing with being invited to, you know, Maui. I think the other thing, too, that I look forward to is this. We're going to have thousands of people at the Houston game, thousands. I don't think we were smart enough to, back when we scheduled the game, realize that this was a bye weekend for our football team. Maybe we were, and maybe that's something that encouraged it, but our fans are traveling. So we won't be – we'll have witnesses down there, which is a good thing.
Bruce, you talked about Chaney getting bigger and kind of more physical this offseason. When did you kind of first notice that, like, okay, this is a different looking dude than what y'all had last year?
So when we watched Chaney, like, from a year ago back early, like November, December, early January, like who is that skinny kid, right? You know, it's like, and then you watch him now, and obviously he's done a great job with Coach Damon Davis and getting his body so powerful. And I mean, we'll need all that and then some against Houston. So Chaney's playing with confidence. He plays with great efficiency. And he is our hardest worker. It's hard to – when you got a team of really hard workers, it's hard to separate one. It really is. Because Janai is one of our hardest workers. The guys that get a lot of shots are in the gym getting shots all the time. But Chaney's, you know, Chaney's Chaney.
Bruce, I know y'all's attention was really focused on Vermont, like you guys have talked about that the last couple of weeks. How did you balance the in the preseason? I know you talked about you're scouting for UNC at one point with Chaney. How did you prepare for Houston, knowing it was going to be a massive game, while still obviously giving Vermont the attention it needed?
Yeah, well, during the course of the summer, we went against almost every single non-conference opponent at some point for two or three days, and the idea would be then to just see how we might guard certain actions or what some things that we do. It's one way of also just sort of in your preseason planning, put in your zone offenses against different looks, put in your ball screen offense against different ball screen defenses. You eventually get to everything by the time we go through these scouts. But then specifically, you know, so we worked on Houston at some point for two or three days this summer. We did the same thing with Vermont. But I think our players are intelligent, and they also would recognize if we finished the Florida Atlantic game on Friday night and we came back in Saturday and I started working on Houston because we got a big game against Houston the following Saturday, and then, okay, well, let's start working on Vermont Monday. I think you're liable to get a team that's going to take somebody for granted. I think the fact that UAB lost them, our guys respected that, recognized that. And let me tell you, outcomes have a lot to do with the players. I mean, I honestly think Vermont beating UAB actually hurt their chances of beating us, because they went over there, they had success, they thought perhaps that it was going to be like UAB, and it wasn't. It was more intense, and it was a more difficult challenge. And we respected Vermont. That's the biggest thing, and that's where you get good senior leadership from our guys. They take it one at a time. We're going to be fine in one-day preparation for Houston. We'll be fine. Because at the end of the day, it's going to come down to taking care of the ball, keeping them off the boards, making some shots. If you do those three things, now we're going to spend a lot more time studying film and breaking everything down, and we're going to study, and we're going to, you know, what we call rebound the basketball, take care of the basketball, make a few shots. We'll have a chance to win.
Bruce Pearl, spending some time with the media. Auburn-Houston tomorrow night. 8:30, that's an 8 o'clock pregame on Wings. We'll talk about what's coming up before then as we wind it down when we come back here on the Friday Drive.